Welcome to Claim Edge, your resource for litigated claims management and resolution. I'm Jim Chapman, your host, and my guest today is Brandon Greenblatt. Brandon is the founder and CEO of Remote Legal, a next-generation technology-enabled court reporting service that covers the insurance claims market. He started Remote Legal just before the pandemic and has seen the business take off with a highly differentiated reporting solution. Brandon shared his story of how he founded a court reporting business that serves the needs of defense attorneys and insurance companies. I enjoyed the conversation, and I'm sure you will too. Because the Claim Edge podcast is focused on litigated claims, today we'll be talking with Brandon about how technology is having an impact on both court reporting and litigation, and the importance of a trusted and easy-to-use court reporting solution.
Hey, Brandon, welcome to the Claim Edge podcast. Great to have you as a guest on the show.
I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
I know you previously practiced with an Am Law 100 firm. What led you to start Remote Legal Court Reporting Company?
It's an interesting story. One of the attorneys who I was working with at Fried Frank, which is the firm that you referenced, you know, he and I were friends. He was of counsel at the time and I was an associate, and you know, we both had entrepreneurial spirits. We would talk business and business of law. And he mentioned to me that he had a friend of a friend who was in the court reporting industry, which, you know, I knew something about it, but I certainly know a lot more about it now. So I began to do some research and I thought it was a really interesting space from a business perspective. I thought there was a lot of opportunity and I thought there would likely be a lot of change coming. And this was pre-COVID. So certainly I couldn't have ever anticipated how much change would have come. But, you know, I got to doing some research. I knew I didn't want to go the partner track at a law firm. And so court reporting wound up being, you know, where I landed and wound up getting into the court reporting industry via acquisition. And so kind of the rest is history. I'm really glad that I did stumble upon the industry and begin to learn about it. And I think there's so much excitement that has happened and will continue to happen in this space.
So you bought a court reporting company back before COVID, right?
Correct. You really can think about it as kind of a self-funded search fund, which for those people who are tuned in may not be familiar with a search fund. It's really when one individual raises capital to acquire a small business, and you raise the capital, you can raise it from yourself, you can raise it from family and friends, you can raise it from outside investors. We did a combination of family and outside investors, and we wound up acquiring a, you know, pretty old school in-person stenographic court reporting company based out of Syracuse, New York, called Precision Reporters. And that was kind of my group's segue into the court reporting business. And we just learned a ton about the business. We managed that business through COVID, you know, through the beginning of COVID. And that kind of led to the birth of Remote Legal as it exists today.
So it's interesting you talk about, you know, kind of in-person court reporting, obviously litigators and insurance claims professionals who are, you know, our audience, familiar with that very traditional process. Hire a court reporter, they show up at your law office, or you go to somebody else's law office. And sometimes there's a video piece of that, videographer shows up. That's the model you started with. I'm interested, though, you mentioned the pandemic. Like, how did the pandemic change that for you?
It was a crazy experience. It changed it so much. And to speak to how, I mean, I'll put it to you this way. As a lot of businesses experienced that week of March 2020, you know, March 12th or 10th or whatever day it was, you know, we began to see every single deposition we had on our calendar cancel one by one. It was like watching dominoes fall in slow motion.
Or the stock market fall.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was insane. It was, but everything we did at that time was in person, like you alluded to. Some of it was videotaped depositions where you had to have a steno as well as a videographer. Some of it was just steno only, but everything canceled. And so March was a slog, April was a slog, May was a slog. By June, we began to climb out of it, but everything was being done on Zoom. So take your traditional in-person deposition model and just slap it on Zoom. And you know, that's what many people in our industry and other industries will tell you they experienced, and it's what we experienced. And so flash forward June, July, August, business started to come back, just looking completely different than what it looked like prior to COVID. And so we just began to discover pain points every single day. I mean, new problems arose every day. And that was kind of what led me to build the product roadmap that we built. Every day, I came across a new problem and I thought about new solutions. And like I said, that's how Remote Legal was born. It was born out of necessity, really and truly.
So obviously, no more traditional, or at least for a period of time, no traditional in-person core reporting. What's the technology stack behind what you guys are doing today, or what you started doing back, you know, in 2020?
We've been pretty consistent with our technology stack, speaking specifically to, you know, the architecture of the software that we've built. We've built our platform, you know, in the cloud on AWS. It's kind of I would call it somewhat of a code light, integration heavy software application. So, you know, we have an integration that helps us to handle deposition exhibits. We have an integration that helps us to handle real-time voice-to-text transcription during a deposition. And then we have an integration that helps us to handle actually the video conferencing aspect where people can see and hear each other. So it's kind of an application that weaves multiple other applications together, just in a way that's never really been done before in the legal industry. So our architecture and tech stack has been pretty consistent from the beginning. We were very careful about how we built it, because as I've learned, being a CEO of a technology business, every decision you make from an architectural standpoint can and will come back to bite you at some point. So you got to be really thorough and careful there. So from the tech stack standpoint, it's been pretty consistent. I'm sure over time, in the long run, we'll see some changes. But for now, we're really starting to grow into the stack that we've put together.
Yeah. So obviously, proprietary to you guys, no longer using Zoom, built out your own product. How does that compare then to sort of the traditional court reporting experience, right? I don't know whether you want to describe it in terms of benefits, trade-offs. What does that look like?
I think it's, you know, when you really boil it down, I guess starting with the actual business model and this, the day-to-day operation itself, court reporting used to be partially a staffing company where it was like you'd get a phone call and they'd say, hey, I need a court reporter here tomorrow, October 15th at 10 a.m., you know, at the public library, wherever. Right. And then they'd say, and 2 weeks from then, I need a transcript, or a week from then, I need a transcript. That was the business. It was a staffing model with a deliverable 2 weeks later. Now what's happened is it's really turned into somewhat of a theatrical production where people are saying, okay, I need you to send a link, send it to X, Y, and Z people. Okay, by the way, here are the documents I may or may not present during this deposition. And then I need stamped exhibits, you know, attached to the transcript. And I need to make sure, by the way, that everybody who joins has an adequate connection and adequate understanding of how to use, you know, remote video conferencing technology. So that kind of early in the pandemic brought on a lot more elements to the business from a customer service standpoint, right? It was no longer just transcript quality control and ensuring that your people, you know, were professional and arriving on time and capable. You had this whole element to the business. And we began to really think about it a little bit differently than a staffing model and a 2 weeks later transcript deliverable. And we kind of felt, well, why can't capturing video of testimony be so much cheaper and easier? You know, why can't the handling of document management during a deposition be so much smoother? You know, why does putting an exhibit stamp on a document have to be such a bottleneck in a digital, in a, you know, virtual world? That seems kind of silly. And then lastly, you know, with the advent of voice-to-text transcription and how far it's come, you know, why can't that be an aid to the record, you know, something that can be utilized by attorneys in the short term while they wait for their certified transcript? So all these benefits just really came very obvious to us. And that's what inspired us to, you know, build the Remote Legal platform. And it's changed the business. You're no longer a staffing company. You know, you're now a technology enabled service business.
Yeah. So you mentioned the voice to text piece of it. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Again, from a tech stack standpoint, you know, it's an integration we've built that enables us to track all of the speakers within a deposition only while they're on the record. And essentially, it creates a, you know, real, a live AI voice to text transcription of the questions and answers in the deposition on a speaker diarized basis. So envision you're kind of within a Zoom meeting, but again, as you alluded to, it's not Zoom. It's a proprietary video conferencing solution where you can click a button and it pulls up the transcript in real time. And you can follow along. You can search things that have previously been said. It gives you that flexibility in depo to be able to potentially impeach your witness, you know, on a break, go back and review old testimony. And this is something that's been available in the market for quite some time through, you know, stenographer real-time transcription. But it's something that we're able to do, you know, much faster and cheaper by virtue of our technology. And also, it enables the attorneys to review that feed after the deposition. So let's say you have multiple depos in a week and you want to, you know, review what got said in the deposition today. You know, you'll have access to that night or the next morning. So it just gives kind of more instantaneous work product that, you know, more and more attorneys are looking to have access to.
I remember when real-time started, or what they called real-time transcription, and it was just the, you know, the stenographer software that was producing essentially a rough transcript. You could look at it on a computer, you kind of follow the bouncing ball as it came on. But frankly, it's a huge distraction. The only way to effectively use it was you had to have somebody else in the room with you, another lawyer, that was paying attention to it, making sure you got the answer that you wanted, that sort of thing. You go look at it on a break, and it had that kind of value. But it seems to me it's got to have some huge value because everybody, you're looking at your screen at the...
Right. It's a lot different than an in-person deposition where you're kind of like, I don't know if, again, I'm not sure if people will be able to see what I'm doing right now, but you know, you're looking down at a screen and then looking back up at a person. You've got the screen real estate and you can kind of choose how to utilize that screen real estate. But Jim, again, another thing I would emphasize is I think we're still figuring out how much value people get from that transcription in depo. And I do think that there are some that get a lot of value of it out of it and some that don't. But what's beginning to become really clear to us is the value people are getting from it post depo.
Okay.
You know, hey, I need to review what that person said today. You know, I want to be prepared for my client meeting tomorrow. I want to have something that I can make notes from that are going to be more than just my memory or my chicken scratch. That's really where we're seeing the value come into play.
Is that real-time transcript then delivered, like, I don't know, immediately post-deposition, or how's
that work? It takes the same amount of time that the deposition took to be delivered. So if it was a 3-hour deposition, you'll get an email with a link to it 3 hours later.
Gotcha. And is it synced to the video, or is it?
Yeah.
So you get
exactly.
You get the video, the words on a page, and the link up, the sync up.
Correct. We don't charge for any of that. That's what comes with our court reporting service offering. So you order the court reporting and you get all of this, and you can search the transcript. You know, let's say you typed in the word public health, let's say 8 times during the deposition, the phrase public health was utilized or spoken. You can then go, you know, just like in a PDF, you can go, all right, next, next, next. If you click and say, okay, this is the one I want to hear, you will then be able to watch the video while you read the transcription on the right side. So they are synchronized to each
other. Gotcha. So you can do a word search or a phrase search on the file, on the electronic file.
And
it'll give you all the hits.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That's a little bit like what we've done with the deposition product that we offer. You can do a multiple search. You can do, you know, tons of words, tons of phrases, and pull them all up at the same time. So there's a lot of value in that, obviously.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you on that. And I think that's an area where, you know, what ClaimEdge is doing and what Remote Legal is doing really have some interesting overlap, for sure.
Yeah. So what's the workflow process of scheduling? I mean, you talked about how it used to be just sort of a staffing model, getting somebody to show up, hire somebody for the event, and then a delivery model on the transcript. How's that workflow changed? What makes it, I don't know, easier, or what things do people need to think about in terms of enabling that?
Yeah, the workflow has changed immensely. And I think, again, a lot of it comes down to no longer do you have to focus on ensuring that a person gets to a certain place by a certain time. You know, we've got the capability of allowing somebody to just log in from their computer. So it does make it easier to provide coverage on depositions. The interesting nuance for us is that, you know, we've hired a group of reporters who are specifically trained in our software. So no longer is, you know, the holy grail of being a reporter having a certain typing efficacy, you know, speed and accuracy. It's really now, it's a full package of being able to manage the room in a deposition, but also be able to provide technology troubleshooting services. Because at the end of the day, that is the biggest part of what we're seeing in remote depositions. People want to be sure that someone's going to be there who, number one, can swear in the witness, be a very capable court reporter, but also make sure that, hey, if my witness joins and doesn't have good connection or doesn't know how to use technology, that somebody's there to walk them through where to click to see exhibits, you know, how to make sure I can see the questioning attorney properly, et cetera, et cetera. So ensuring that we've got the people right, who are trained in our software has become a big consideration within our workflow. And that's why we've been very adamant about recruiting and training our own team.
Yeah, so obviously, you know, the trust factor is really important.
It's critical.
Attorneys worry about everything, and they're frustrated when things don't go well or don't seem to be going well. And having folks on your team that can walk people through things and get everything working just right is super critical.
This is something, a theory I developed closer to the beginning of the pandemic, but I feel like the practice of law has evolved in a 2-3 year span where just as much as you're expected to know the law and know how to apply the law and analyze facts and deal with your client, you got to be able to manage technology. And if you can't, it's going to be the equivalent of not knowing the law, right? A client is going to say to you, well, you know, why should I let you run my case if you can't log into a Zoom, right? Which things that have become table stakes for any professional, let alone, you know, a trusted attorney. So that's, you know, I really feel it's become a crucial element of practicing law.
I know you've got a partnership with some insurance carriers, right? What is it that either the insurance world is learning or maybe still needs to know about remote legal or, you know, the technology that it is and its capabilities today around deposition?
Interestingly, you know, we really started out our approach, you know, our sales and marketing approach more directly towards law firms and kind of catering towards the, hey, look what you can do for your client. You can turn around summaries faster. You can save them money. And a lot of the lawyers who, you know, have come to really enjoy our services have said to us, you have to talk to my carrier. Number one, I want to get you approved. Number two, I think they'll see the value and start to bring you to their network. So as we've begun to kind of mature and begin talking to carriers, the things that have come to light are, how can we reduce claim turnaround time? Claim life, I should say. You know, how can we reduce claim life? How can we reduce the amount of time that it takes for an attorney to get a summary to their adjuster or the person, you know, working on the claim? And then, of course, how can we save money? I mean, save money is always top of mind for as we know, for insurance professionals. But I think we try to drive the conversation to more than just saving money. But because we use technology to deliver so much of this work product, they're able to get more for less. And that's always a top priority.
For most carriers, litigation cost is the most significant piece of their loss adjustment expense. And they're always looking for ways to try to reduce that cost and as you, to your point, speed up cycle time.
Yeah, well, because that's money, right? That's ROI. Every day that claim is open and they have attorneys working on them, you know, that's a day that they're spending money. And I've always thought, how many of these court reporters who have been working in the insurance field for the entirety of a career can sit down at a deposition and say, I've seen this episode before. This one's going to settle for this amount of money, right? This one's going to settle for that amount of money. So I envision a world in which, you know, this data, that data that's being captured is going to help drive settlement outcomes and claim outcomes. So I envision a world where that becomes a reality sooner than later.
You know, I was going to ask you, technology leaders talk about data as the new oil, right? It has a ton of value. And now every deposition has a digital format today, whether it's just in the words on a page digitally, but increasingly, you know, video as well. Your thought then, as it sounds like for the future, is that has tremendous value to case resolution.
Yeah, especially with the current state of the labor market, particularly as it pertains to court reporters, transcription is expensive. I envision a world where video is used much more commonly, right? Why shouldn't you be able to grab a 1-minute segment from a witness video and link it in a motion or, you know, link it in a brief or any sort of interaction with a judge? And, you know, the judge can click and watch that 20, 40, 60 second clip, as opposed to reading testimony on a paper. If it can be done far more cost effectively and faster, why is that not going to be the future? So I envision, and look, my analogy is always, if you were hanging out with friends and, you know, you said, I really want to have a record of this conversation, you know, would you hire a court reporter or would you put your phone on the table and hit record? So look, I realize that capturing the record is more serious than that. And that's why the process works the way it does. I'm thinking forward for the future of, you know, what's to come, not just in this industry, but in many industries.
So if you were in a room full of lawyers, right, talking about you know, remote legal or the technology, what advice would you give to them around this court reporting shift? How they can use it to their advantage or leverage it in their own practice?
I definitely think the availability of legal video is, especially at much lower costs than what it, you know, used to be, is something that should absolutely be taken advantage of. We see a lot of attorneys, I will say it's definitely a popular practice on the plaintiff side, who are just videotaping every deposition because it's cheaper and they can in the remote world. So I think that's definitely something that'll be seen. And that could be just for the sake of witness evaluation. It could be for, you know, they want to evaluate their associate and, you know, they're young and doing depositions and you want to hear the cadence of the questions. You want to see how they handled body language. So we see that a good amount. So I think video is a big component that will be significantly increasing, has begun to and will continue to. I also think just faster turnaround time of transcripts and being able to get on with your practice faster is going to be crucial. And then just the court reporter shortage, right? There is a massive shortage of court reporters in our market and you don't want to get stuck holding that bag. Like we've had, it's happening more and more where we get requests for deposition coverage the night before. Somebody's reporter bailed on them, doesn't have availability, was too expensive. It's happening to us, you know, more and more. You have to be prepared for that reality. And so what that usually means is procuring a software solution or a technology solution that can help fill the gaps or be your go-to provider.
Yeah, I think one of the things you mentioned specifically around video is really powerful. It's the opportunity to watch it over and over again or you know, provide it to a client or even in the context of, say, a mock jury to, you know, gauge the reaction of folks in order to make those challenging decisions. Are we going to take a case to trial? Is it one that we need to settle?
I mean, I think about it like, you know, I'm a big golf and baseball fan. And the when you think about analytics in baseball and watching swings and analyzing exit velocity and bat speed, well, it's all done through video, you know, and video analysis. So if it's being done in other professions, why shouldn't it be done in the law?
Yeah, I can't wait for the training tool that comes along for, you know, younger lawyers that says, no, try this, right? Because yeah. It's watching how you're doing something and gives you some suggestions, right?
I think it's already happening. You know, like I see some of these deposition college conferences where, you know, people are going and they're literally getting trained on every step they take, every word that comes out of their mouth and how it impacts their deposition.
Yeah. And can ultimately impact the case, obviously.
Right.
It's still a very theatrical event.
Definitely. Even on video, even on virtual, you know, video conference, it's still a very theatrical event.
Brandon, I have really enjoyed this conversation today. If any of our listeners want to connect with you or check out Remote Legal, what's the best way to do that?
Feel free to email me. You know, it's bgreenblatt, bgreenblatt at remotelegal.com. That's always the easiest way to get directly in touch with me, and I'm happy to respond personally. Or, you know, visit our website at www.remotelegal.com, and we're always happy to, you know, there's a link there to set up a demo. We're always happy to do that. And also just happy to have conversations with people around higher level topics and industry topics. I am a industry student, and so I'm always happy to have that conversation.
Well, that's a great offer. I'm sure our audience will appreciate it. Thanks again for being able to join us today.
Jim, thanks very much. I love what you guys are doing, and I'm a big fan of the Claim Edge concept, and I'm looking forward to being in touch. Thanks for having me.
It was a real pleasure to have Brandon Greenblatt from Remote Legal as a guest on the Claim Edge podcast. I hope you enjoyed our conversation about lawsuits, court reporting, and his advice for lawyers in technology use. As Brandon mentioned, if you want to connect with him, his email is bgreenblatt@remotelegal.com. Thanks for listening. If you like this episode of Claim Edge, please subscribe on your favorite podcast channel and share it with your colleagues and friends. Until next time, this is Jim Chapman on the Claim Edge podcast, signing off.